Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The nation's economy added just 12,000 jobs in the month of October, due mostly to the strike at Boeing that has left more than 30,000 employees not working, and due to the hurricanes Helene and Milton, which devastated parts of the southeast.
Overall, this report, while it does seem shockingly low, that top line number, it seems like Wall Street is already looking past it because we've got stock futures rallying after this report.
ABC's Alexis Christophorus, the Dow right now is up more than 480 points. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump hold dueling rallies within 7 miles of each other this evening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Police in Orlando are still looking for a motive in the mass shooting at a Halloween event downtown that left 2 people dead and 6 wounded. A 17-year-old is in custody. More than 200 people have been killed in the recent flooding in Spain, and dozens are still missing. It's being called the worst natural disaster so far this century in that region. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Rusk County town is appealing a federal injunction requiring it to use accessible voting machines. The town of Thornapple was hit with the injunction a few weeks ago, accused of violating the Help America Vote Act by removing voting machines and deciding to hand count paper ballots for the April and August primary elections. The town's appeal challenges the definition of voter system. The town attempted to have the lawsuit dismissed, but their motion was denied by Wisconsin Western District Chief U.S. Judge James Peterson. A Rice Lake man accused of evading police during a high-speed chase has been located and charged. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, 21-year-old Logan Olson of Rice Lake was charged with fleeing an officer, recklessly endangering safety, operating with a revoked license, and bail jumping on Monday. The chase started when a Barron County officer attempted to stop the motorcycle being driven by Olson when he fled. He allegedly reached speeds of 90 miles per hour and escaped by driving on a walking trail where police could not follow. Superior residents will see a jump in their utility bill after regulators approved rate hikes on Thursday. Superior Water, Light, and Power asked the Wisconsin Public Service Commission for an 18% hike on water, 17% hike on natural gas, and 2.2% hike on electric. Instead, regulators approved a 14.6% increase for gas, a nearly 11% increase for water, and a 1.3% increase for electric. The company says they wanted to raise over $7 million to improve infrastructure and clean up a former gas plant. After collecting nearly 300 submissions and narrowing them down to 10 finalists, it's time for Duluth residents to vote for their favorite in their first-ever snowplow naming contest. Among the 10 finalists are names like Sled Zeppelin, Blizzard Wizard, and Edgar Allan Plow. Residents have until November 4th to vote for their favorite name on the City of Duluth's website, and the winner will be announced on November 11th. The winning name will also be displayed on the snowplow at the Christmas City of the North Parade on November 22nd. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Packer named Defensive Player of the Month. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers safety Xavier McKinney named the NFC Defensive Player of the Month. McKinney, a free agent from the Giants, leads the league with 6 interceptions. I asked him, how did he feel when Matt LaFleur made the announcement in a team meeting?
I felt good. I mean, me personally, I think there was another month that I should have won it too. But at the end of the day, it's a great honor, and I'm happy about it. But, you know, there's more to do.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. The Badgers head to Iowa to face the Hawkeyes 6:30 tomorrow night at Kinnick Stadium. On the line, the Heartland Trophy. NBA, the Bucks losing last night to the Grizzlies 122-99 in Memphis. Grizzlies guard Ja Morant with 26 points. The Bucks have lost 4 in a row.
We got to fix this. We didn't make shots, and we have to find a way to get stops. Morant had a free pass tonight as far as driving, and so we got to do a better job of figuring out how to contain guards like that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid to upper 40s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine, warmer, mid to upper 50s. And then we have more rain on the way Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is up for grabs in Iowa City. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on your local Civic Media radio station, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison entertainment critic and CityCast Madison editor Rob Thomas. And it's Friday, which means Terry Barr will be here for Bar Band Friday Night with some most excellent new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up for you today. We have Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area, and also Civic Media's political analyst.
Editor.
That too. He will be here at 10:33. There's a new poll out, the last poll before the election from Marquette University. We'll talk some numbers. Kyle Kilborn. Yeah. After 11 o'clock, he is running against Tom Tiffany in the North Woods. See how that race is going.
Yeah.
I know that Tom Tiffany has raised quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Kyle Kilborn and see how he is feeling about the state of the race. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. If you ever have a thing that should not be, share it with Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. And of course, Tuesday, it's 4 days away. 4 days away to Election Day. Make sure you are a voter. Make sure you're a voter. Everybody who's anybody is a voter.
Be a voter.
Be a voter. And join us then Tuesday evening starting at 6 o'clock for Civic Media's special election night coverage. We will have insight and analysis you're not going to find anywhere else. We have many, many people who are going to be on hand for this. So I hope you can join us for the results as they start coming in Tuesday night, starting here at Civic Media at 6 p.m. We wanted to kick off the show, though, with yet another acknowledgement that we have the least productive state legislature possibly in the country.
Yeah, we
got to be right up there with not getting things done.
Jane, I'm going to need you to keep your voice down. They're currently going in their 9th month of their 10-month vacation.
Oh, we don't want to bother them.
So they're napping right now.
A great article in today's Wisconsin Public Radio from reporter Danielle Kading. Headline reads, "The DNR has been without a secretary for a year. Former agency leaders say that is a problem."
Yeah.
Now, I remember when Governor Evers was elected to his second term a couple of years ago. And at that point, he had over 150 appointees to these boards that our state legislature wouldn't even give hearings to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like they don't want to make sure that things get done in Wisconsin.
It's almost as if they enjoy not getting things done, between like the gavel in, the gavel out, sitting on money that should be used on the people and programs. It's like they get enjoyment out of gridlock, and I'll say it, hurting the Wisconsin people.
This is the longest the DNR has been without a secretary in more than two decades. Former DNR Secretary George Myers saying he can't recall any significant gap in the office in more than 50 years. More than 50 years.
Yeah.
Wisconsinites are very conservation-minded.
Mm-hmm.
We love our outdoors. We love our natural resources. I think that's one of the things we can certainly all agree on. And yet, we don't want to have given Governor Evers a win. I guess it's all about preventing a win.
No, yeah, it's about giving him a win. And also, you know, we may be a conservation minded people here in Wisconsin, but I will say that the GOP is in Wisconsin, at least, is not very conservation minded. They're very willing to give away land to businesses. They're not going to make companies who poison our waters with PFAS admit to wrongdoing.
Right.
They don't really care that much. I mean, hey, they might want to even, like, you know, mine and put big buildings up in the Apostle Islands too. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely. According to Meyer, again, who was a former DNR secretary, he says the years-long vacancy is at the heart of a political battle between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the GOP-controlled Senate, which has rejected 21 of Evers' appointees. They include 8 appointees that they fired last fall, as well as Evers' appointee to the Public Service Commission in January. Now, I understand that that is their position. They can reject these appointees, mm-hmm. but I question whether or not they have the grounds to reject these appointees, well, other than saying that Governor Evers suggested them.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like you can do it without any sort of justification. And if that's the case, then yes, this is spiteful. This is vengeful and it's petty.
Republicans hold a 22-10 majority in the Senate with one district vacant. Democrats are hoping to gain seats now that we have new maps,
yeah.
and that will make some districts more competitive. Scott Hassett, also another former DNR secretary, says the governor may be waiting until after the election with the deck reshuffled and it becomes more optimistic about getting someone confirmed. This, to me, also, though, reinforces how important all these down ballot races are.
Correct.
It's not just the two at the top of the ticket. It's not just the presidential race. It's not just the U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin. It's all of those down ballot races. Mm-hmm. Keep this in mind, folks, if you haven't voted yet.
Yeah.
Do we want things to get done in Wisconsin? Do we want money that has already been approved to address PFAS, to address the hospital closings in western Wisconsin? Then maybe we should vote a different way this time. Instead of for some of these guys, and they're mostly guys, who have been in their office for too long.
Yeah, they got into office maybe when all the maps were redrawn. And they haven't had to do a lot of work because they don't have to get votes because they don't get challengers or whatever. But let's vote people in. And this goes to all parties who want to work together and get things done.
And that means giving up some things.
That's compromise. It's not a scary word. It's not a bad word. It's not a soft word. It's important.
That's how things get accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we move forward. That's how we make progress.
Yep.
Is by bartering. That's the deal.
Yeah. Make sure you know who's on your ballot. Make sure who's running for your offices locally. That's where the work gets done.
And again, if you have any questions about who your representatives are, if you haven't gone to cast your vote yet, you can go to civicmedia.us/vote. You can also go to myvote.wi.gov
mm-hmm.
and find out. All you have to do is plunk in your address. All of the information will come up, including all of your representatives, as well as their phone numbers.
Yes. Another aspect of myvote.wi.gov is your clerk's office. Look where your clerk is. If you have any questions, we suggest at this point now giving them a call.
Absolutely.
Because every municipality can be different when they take their ballots, where they take their ballots, what time they close, the last day for voting. It's best to call those clerks today before the weekend, because they might not even be open Saturday or Sunday.
Exactly.
And get all the information you need through them directly. Don't listen. Just talk to them.
Yeah, talk to your municipal clerk that they know, and that's why they're there, is to answer your questions.
Yeah.
According to this article again in WPR, and we're talking about the lack of a secretary at the head of the DNR, it's been over a year because Wisconsin Republicans just don't want to work. Republican lawmakers say they've approved the vast majority of Evers' appointees, confirming 579 of them since 2019. But there are currently 175 appointees still awaiting Senate confirmation. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu did not respond to a request for comment. After they fired Evers appointees last fall, LeMahieu said in a statement they were unqualified to serve.
Devin LeMahieu, he's a guy who doesn't really know what his job is, actually. He said with regard to, I believe it was the vote on allowing municipalities to start counting their ballots during the day. He didn't bring it up. It was a bipartisan bill passed the assembly, heading to the House or to the Senate, and it wasn't even brought up for a vote. And when asked why, Devin LeMahieu said, "That's not my job. What's my job? Supposed to do it?" Yes, that's your job.
That's not his job.
That is absolutely your job, Devin LeMahieu. You're holding things up. And now we get to deal with, on Tuesday night, people saying, "What about the ballot dumps? Why does it take so long?" Because the state not only didn't pass the law, but they passed a constitutional amendment saying that you can't have help either.
Right.
So, yeah, here we are.
Well, and again, when we start hearing all these bogus reports of cheating, when ballots start coming in late at night and the count starts to change later in the evening as more ballots come in, you can thank Devin LeMahieu.
Yep.
You can thank the Republicans in the Wisconsin Senate. Carmela from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Carmela. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Well, it's interesting that you brought up about like down ballots, because I was actually thinking about asking this question. I voted early and I noticed down ballot that virtually everyone was unopposed and they were all Democratic. And I was actually a little pleasantly surprised by that. And I was going to say, can you ask like one of your political experts about this? Is that a good sign? Do you think it has to do with the remapping? I don't know. I was just curious about that. And I realized that it's just, I'm in Milwaukee County and it may be different throughout the state.
I think it is. Yeah, I hear you, Carmela. Thank you for that. And we can ask Dan Schaefer about that. But I think, especially in Milwaukee County, I'm not surprised that they didn't have any challengers.
In Kenosha, too, we had a bunch of unchallenged. It was a lot of, and this doesn't have to do with the maps if there are things like the clerk and the district attorney. The maps have to do with the state senate and the assembly. But, yeah, like in Kenosha, tons of unopposed people who are Democratic running for small, small offices because no one runs for them.
Well, and again, it takes a lot of dedication to run for office. Thank you, Carmela. Hope you're doing well. And thank you for listening. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of thick skin.
Well,
when you look at some of the attack, we talked about this. Yes, this attack ad against Luann Byrd just makes me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running for state assembly or state senate, governor, the federal ones, I get that. But when you're running for city clerk, first of all, it should not be an elected official. It should be appointed by the mayor. You shouldn't have attack ads run on you for just wanting to run the clerk's office.
No, you really shouldn't.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yes.
So, but here we are, four days away.
Remember this. If we want to get things done, maybe it's time to vote for some change. As you head into the voting booth, stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Newt Gingrich has thoughts.
Great. Can't wait.
We'll share those next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah!
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me. Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number's the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Do a little chair dancing on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, rather, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Going to break down the latest poll from Marquette University. And there's another poll out there that I think we should talk about. It's called Polymarket. It's actually not a polling firm. It's a betting company. But counting on the results of an election by following a company where you place bets seems like a complete sure thing to me.
It sounds like where thruples go to find their dates.
So we will be kicking that around after the 10:30 news. But I wanted to come back to this. We spent some time talking about this with the WIS Dems chair, Ben Wickler, yesterday. There is an ad out. One is voiced by Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. One is voiced by George Clooney. And we also had an ad that we got a couple of weeks ago.
Totally legitimate.
Totally legitimate, completely real. Super PAC.
Yes.
But it was kind of the same message.
Yeah.
Very much the same message. Yeah. So, Calvin, if you don't mind, let's play clip number one, please. This is that Julia Roberts ad that you might be seeing on TV.
Your turn, honey.
In the one place in America where women still have a right to choose, you can vote any way you want. And no one will ever know.
Did you make the right choice?
Sure did, honey.
Remember, what happens in the booth stays in the booth. Vote Harris Walz.
Well, when this hits and the outrage among some of the right-wingers, Charlie Kirk, and the meltdown has just been a beautiful thing to watch. Yeah.
This is Jesse Waters.
The destruction of the family and the ultimate betrayal. And oh my God, they're telling people to lie to their spouses. Of all people to check in on this.
Yeah.
Here's former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Calvin, that's clip number two.
I mean, how do you run a country where you're walking around saying wives should lie to their husbands, husbands should lie to their wives? I mean, what kind of a totally amoral, corrupt sick system have the Democrats developed? If you think about it at that level, it is astonishing.
Yeah, Newt, you know what's kind of astonishing? Is that you have a pretty well-established record of infidelity. He's on his third wife.
Yeah.
He cheated on his second wife with his current wife.
Hmm.
And granted, he has admitted, you know, I'm a flawed person. Not everyone is perfect. And I absolutely get that. I do. We are all flawed. We all have character flaws.
Yeah.
It's the hypocrisy.
Yes.
That drives me crazy. How dare Newt step out as the arbiter of all that is moral? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, well, and same thing with like Jesse Waters lost his head about it too, saying that it was tantamount to
of having an affair.
An affair, which is funny for a guy who had an affair with his first wife.
Yeah. I mean,
And like once again, nobody's perfect. And if one of these guys said, "Look, I'm no moral leader, and I've made mistakes, but this I don't believe is correct." Okay, there's another conversation. But to just pass yourself off without any sort of flaw, it's ridiculous. And honestly, I was going to say this yesterday, we didn't have time, is I'm seeing pushback on social media about these ads too, especially the Lincoln Project one, where it's the two husbands who are like, you know, she's voting the right way.
Right.
And then they don't, they wink and whatever, saying that these ads make it seem like women don't have the ability to vote how they want to vote. Well,
in some cases, that's true.
In some cases, they don't. And if you're not in one of those relationships and you don't know anyone, good for you. That's great that you have an open, loving relationship. And if you disagree on candidates and you can talk about it, fantastic. But that doesn't mean that there aren't women out there, or maybe even children of voting age out there, who are being told who they have to vote for and feeling pressured because they feel like, my God, that one lady we talked about in Georgia, 81 years old, voted for the first time because her husband said your vote wouldn't count.
He didn't want her to vote.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people out there in situations where they're having their rights, their voices suppressed. And these ads are telling them, no, you get to do what you want in that voting.
You can vote your conscience.
I love that line, in the one place where a woman can still choose.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is true. And just a little reminder in case you've forgotten while we're talking about good old Newton
Leroy Gingrich.
Newton Leroy Gingrich.
Wow!
While he was leading the impeachment proceedings against Bill Clinton for lying about fooling around with Monica Lewinsky, at the same time, Newt was having an affair. When he was later asked if he considered himself to be living in a glass house, he reluctantly agreed, but defended himself by saying, "I think you have to look at whether or not people have to be perfect in order to be leaders. I don't think I'm perfect. I admitted I had problems. I admitted I sought forgiveness. Just admit you're a hypocrite."
Yeah.
That'd be a real good place to start.
That's the thing, is like, people make mistakes. Come forth and say something.
I don't have a problem with that.
Not one bit. And in fact, if anything, the respect will be there for you to put yourself on the line.
And my biggest takeaway from all this, I was watching MSNBC yesterday, and they also talked about these freakouts from Charlie Kirk and Jesse Waters about, my wife might lie to me about how she's going to vote. And Nicole Wallace on MSNBC said, "Men think women never fake anything." Boom.
Well, and also Jesse Waters said that this is the same as having an affair. And he got so heated about it that I think it was Maria Bartiromo said, "Are you intimidating her?"
Yeah.
Like,
and then they had to go to break.
Yes. Listen to your words, gentlemen. Listen to what you are saying. You think that your comfort is more important than her right.
Hypocrite much?
Lots, Newton Leroy.
News is coming up next. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here. We'll do some recombobulating. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the statewide, countrywide, potentially globally on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Baby, just look at me. You got me in a state of shock. Look at that. Look at me.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. With the general election just days away, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump will hold competing rallies in Wisconsin. Both Vice President Harris and former President Trump are scheduled to hold rallies in the Milwaukee area on Friday, just a few miles away from each other. The Milwaukee area is crucial for both candidates to win the swing state, as most recent presidential elections in the state have been decided by less than 23,000 votes. Trump will return to Fiserv Forum, while Harris will visit the State Fair Park. If you want to vote early in Wisconsin but still haven't done it yet, your window is rapidly closing. The final day for in-person early voting in most communities is Friday, unless your municipality offers early voting over the weekend. There will be no in-person early voting anywhere in Wisconsin on Monday to give election workers the time they need to prepare for Election Day. For details on when in-person early voting will be offered in your area, you should check with your local clerk. If you can't vote early over the weekend, you'll have to wait for Tuesday. Northern Wisconsin residents got a bit of early snow for Halloween, and many are hoping that more is on the way. Last year's mild winter caused a variety of issues around the region, especially for businesses that rely on the snow to stay afloat. In addition to the economic hit last year's snow caused, officials say it contributed to higher wildfire dangers last spring, as the lack of snow allowed many areas to become too dry when the weather started to warm up. Thursday's snow may have just been a dusting, but it was a welcome sight for many in the area. Duluth officials say construction on the new seawall project near the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center is still on schedule. The project seeks to rebuild the failing seawall to make it more resilient and build connectivity between Bayfront and Canal Park. Officials say that the project is scheduled to be wrapped up sometime around June, as last year's mild winter weather helped crews get started on parts of the project early. The deteriorating seawall had led to sinkholes forming and flooding on the streets during inclement weather. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Holiday movie season is about to kick off, and there are two big films to be released in the next couple weeks. And theater owners and studio executives are hoping they crush the gate. It's not quite Barbenheimer, but Gladiator 2 and Wicked both open November 22nd, and cumulatively are estimated to pull in almost $150 million to help kick off the holiday box office. Hopefully these films match the amount of buzz and hype that is brewing throughout Hollywood. A Hollywood actor is headed to prison for 12 months and a day for his part in the January 6th insurrection in 2021. Actor Jay Johnston has appeared in shows like Bob's Burgers, Parks and Rec, Arrested Development, and the critically acclaimed Mr. Show. According to NBC News, the actor, who was also in Anchorman and Men in Black 2, pleaded guilty to obstructing officers during civil disorder. According to Variety, the actor stole a police shield to help make a wall against police and pinned an officer against a doorframe and was arrested a month later. Tough way to get a new headshot. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A high-pressure system has settled in, clearing those clouds and calming our winds, but also providing some crisp temperatures. Highs today will only climb to the upper 40s, and tonight fall to the mid-30s. But with plenty of sunshine on tap and warming temperatures, Saturday looks splendid. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
My name is Anton Moore. Around here, we have hardworking people that just need a break. Whether it's investing in small businesses or making housing affordable, Vice President Harris gets it.
Kamala Harris is making sure black men have the tools to build generational wealth. She'll put a policy in place that gives 1 million forgivable loans to help entrepreneurs, including black entrepreneurs, start their own businesses. She also plans to give $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time homeowners and crack down on racial bias in home appraisals. Harris's plan will help black men own more assets so we can build long-term wealth.
This is what an investment in my community looks like. We're trying to build generational wealth. No get-rich-quick schemes, no scams, no one-time check, none of that. Vice President Harris got our back. I'll be there on November 5th. Will you be there?
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, a Trigby Olsen of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number's the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. He joins us every Friday so we can do a little recombobulating. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Jane. How are you guys doing today?
I think we all feel the same. Greg and I are sharing many deep sighs with 4 days to go before Election Day. So let's start with talking about
4 days to go in Election Day. We're in political media. We're in Wisconsin. It's a lot.
It is
a
lot,
Jane and Greg.
There's a lot going on. So let's start off with talking about the latest poll from Marquette University.
That's right. As I always do at the recombobulation area, I did an in-depth breakdown of the latest results of the Marquette University Law School poll. Lots of interesting takeaways. I encourage you to go take some time to give this a read. But we know at the top of the ticket, it's a toss up. We know it's Wisconsin. We know it's close. You know, Harris is up by one. Baldwin is up by two. You know, those are both within the margin of error. This could certainly go either way. But I think within the poll, there were some really interesting things that jumped out. And one of the things that the Marquette poll did this time was group the last four polls together, so that we have like kind of a larger sample size of what's happened. Because since Harris has entered the race, not a whole lot has changed in the four polls that Marquette has taken since she entered the race. So, you know, given that dynamic, we have a little bit of a larger sample to see, you know, where things are headed, where the vote choice is, you know, among different demographic groups. There are a number of interesting charts that they put out. But I think within this, there is a really huge gender gap in a number of different ways, and a gender gap that was specific to certain generations, too. And this is one of the things that I posted about in my recap on Twitter, and it has gone super viral. It's been like one of my most engagement on any tweets that I've had. But this one is specifically about Generation X and the gender gap in the politics among Gen X. So Gen X has been identified as the most pro-Trump generation in Wisconsin, but by a fairly considerable margin. I think, you know, most people would think the boomers.
Yeah, blame
the older
it on the
folks.
Boomers.
Yeah. but actually, the age group of 45 to 59-year-olds in Wisconsin have consistently polled, and not just the recent polls, not just Harris Trump, have consistently polled as the most Republican-leaning generation. So the way they break it down in the Marquette polls, 18 to 29. So I think we can, you know, refer to that group as Gen Z. 30 to 44, that is the millennials. 5 to 59, those are Gen X. And then 60 and above, the boomer generation. And it is striking that how Republican-leaning Gen X really is.
Is that for both men and women?
Well, that's where the key divide is there, Jane. The men favor Trump in this poll, in these four polls grouped together, by a 36-point margin.
Wow.
In that 45 to 59 range. That men and Gen X, that is like the most pro-Trump of any age group. But the women of Gen X, the huge divide here, the women of Gen X favor Harris by a 14-point margin. That's actually more pro-Harris than the millennials, than millennial women. So, and millennial men let me just make sure I have this correctly. Millennial lean Trump only by an 8-point margin. So you have Gen X men significantly more pro-Trump than millennial men, and then pretty similar numbers, millennials and Gen X, among women who favor Harris.
I'm not.
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
It is, and I'm honestly, I'm not super surprised that Gen X men, And we're seeing comments in the live stream saying, well, that's not true. It's polling. It's a sample. It's what the information found out. We're not here to like, I'm not disputing what they do over there, but I'm honestly not surprised that Gen Xers men are pro Trump. I mean, we're in our 40s and 50s now, and guys can get, you know, grouchy and complainy and don't like being told what to, they didn't like being told what to do when they were 20, when the boomers were saying things about them. I don't know. I just, there's probably a much more deeper psychological reason why, but Dan, when you give us that information, it just doesn't hit me as a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there is, you know, a certain aspect of like kind of growing up in the Reagan years or whatever it might be, having that just kind of like baked into your political psyche of that type of mentality towards politics that is hard to shake.
It might be a thing of like my old man was right.
And maybe people, you know, grew up, maybe a lot of men were watching The Apprentice or something like that too, and might have a different view of Donald Trump because of it, right?
Well, this leads us to a conversation we had earlier in the week about this obsession with alpha and beta males. And if Donald Trump is the definition and the best example of an alpha male, what I take away from that is an alpha male is always right, never takes responsibility for anything, is a bully, punches down.
Hypersensitive,
and insulting.
Now that's the true alpha. That's the sign of a real alpha male, isn't it?
Yeah. But that, and I find it amazing that Gen X men are less cranky than boomer men. That's shocking to me.
Less cranky, or more that
Gen X men are more cranky than
cranky.
Yeah, more cranky than.
Yeah, it's interesting. The boomers, there's a much more narrow, you know, gulf between in the gender divide there. Like men in the 60 plus generation favor Trump by 4%, women favor Harris by 7%. So it's much closer in the oldest generation that is in the poll compared to the youngest. Now, I will note here too that the 18 to 29 year olds, it's a pretty even split among men for Trump and Harris. For women, it is not an even split. 36-point margin for women under 30 years old favoring Kamala Harris. And I think that is what I want to get, what I want to talk about too, is if there is such striking numbers for women in the polling of this race between Harris and Trump. And I think it is, you know, it is especially striking in the suburbs. You know, they break this down by region as well. And for, you know, suburban areas in and around Milwaukee, Waukesha County was like voting Republican by like 40-point margins as recently as like 10 years ago in Waukesha County. That's not the case anymore. And now in the suburbs, and this includes Dane County suburbs too, so that might be pulling the numbers a little bit further towards Democrats. But women in the suburbs favor Harris by an 18-point margin. And I think those numbers with women are really overwhelming and really hard to deny. And it's women under the age of 30, women in the suburbs, and college-educated women in particular favor Harris by a 36-point margin. And I think that is, you know, after the Dobbs decision, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, this being the first presidential election with that, and the way that that has you know, just been one of the major events of the last 4 years in American politics, I don't think women are going to forget that when they go to the polls this year. And I think we might be underestimating just how just the turnout among women and just the enthusiasm among women for this election, for Kamala Harris, especially in kind of a post-Dobbs America.
I want to make it perfectly clear. I never underestimated any of the women. I've always believed in the women.
former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker said that they're going to forget about this. Women are going to forget about the abortion thing. It's all fine. It's all good. Yeah, we're not forgetting.
No.
Sorry. That's kind of stuck with us, the whole bodily autonomy thing. I don't know. It makes some of us a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you look at this election, it is a toss up. Anyone who tells you they have the of where this election is going to go. Either way, you know, that they're wrong, because this, either candidate could win. This is not a clear pro-Harris poll. This is not a clear pro-Trump poll by any of the stretch of the imagination.
And that just reinforces Trump, how important it is that everyone go cast a vote. Mm-hmm. Go cast
Absolutely.
Your ballot.
But the point that I made in my breakdown is that if it does come to pass that Donald Trump loses again and Kamala Harris wins in Wisconsin, it will be because of the women of the state. It will clearly be because of the women of the state of Wisconsin who will have interest to vote for Kamala Harris and vote against Donald Trump.
I think it's going to be like in 2020 when Georgia went for Joe Biden, the credit was going to basically black women who came out and voted in droves. This is going to be, it's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, people are saying, you know, we got people in the comments right now saying, you know, when are we going to start looking at it from a point of view of polling doesn't really give us a clear idea because
polls don't vote.
They don't vote. But also, you know, something that you said, Jane, off the air was that, you know, it can be a 50-50 split, but then there are people out there who aren't getting polled, who are not giving the information because in 2016, people didn't say they were voting for Trump because they didn't want to get ostracized. Now I feel like there are people out there who say they're voting for, and this is not a, it's a gut feeling, people. It's intuitive thinking. They're saying they're going to vote for Trump or not saying anything, and they're going to vote for Harris because it's just gone too far.
Yeah. There are people, I think there is some Trump fatigue. There are some people who are just exhausted. After 8 years of this man being the dominant political figure in American politics. And I think that is certainly going to be a factor. But, you know, again, it's super close. I cannot overstate how close this is. And if there is a polling miss, like the like you mentioned in 2016, then Donald Trump's going to win. But I just don't think that the environment is the same now that it was in 2016. And I think the shift with women, and it's not just that women are voting more for Democrats, because that's always been the case. But if you look around the state of Wisconsin, the trends that have happened that have shaped the politics in our state for the past few years that have driven Democratic victories in 14 of the last 16 statewide elections, I don't think those trends are slowing down with women. I don't think the Trump campaign has prioritized bringing women into the tent of the Republican Party really at all. They've been trying to get more of these what political science dorks like myself call the low propensity voters, people who might not necessarily vote in the midterms, might not vote in their local elections, might only want to vote for Trump. Get them to turn out for Trump. But I think that there's just such an overwhelming trend in the suburbs with women, with college educated women in particular, that do think there is, you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, I would rather be in the Harris camp than the Trump camp for Wisconsin right now.
Well, and we are seeing more stories come out about women who are dying, women who had pregnancies they wanted. There's another one. The story just broke today. She went to the emergency room 3 times. She was rejected 3 times, and now she's dead. And women aren't going to forget that. Nor should we.
I
think if there's any factor that's going to be underestimated right now, it is the dedication of women to vote in this election.
I think if the Republicans are going to do anything for themselves, they should really take their own advice from the past 2-3 election cycles where they didn't get the red wave they wanted and actually do the work, which is a ground game, talking to the people, knocking on doors, because that's what they say they need to do. They need to open, as you said, Dan, open that tent up, bring in more people, not just one or two examples of, hey, we're not sexist and racist. You got to get out there and knock on those doors and talk to people. And they just never, ever get it through their brains.
But that's because I think they cannot defend so many of these positions. I just don't think that they have a strong defense for this. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, our political
editor.
And the author of The Recombobulation Area. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on this Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Displayed prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at www.robinhood.com/election.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet KLB on the board, coming to you from Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, an hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Great Cheese Caper Edition. Stick around for This Shouldn't Be a Thing, coming up around 11:51. Dan Schaefer is here. He's the civic media political editor and also the author of The Recombobulation Area. We were talking about the latest polls as we are only 4 days away from Election Day. Dan, are you familiar with Polymarket at all?
Nope, you're muted, Dan.
I'm back now. Okay. Sorry about that. But yes, I am familiar with Polymarket to a certain degree. I am not a gambler myself.
Well, and that's it. I keep seeing things on my social medias. Polymarket is predicting a Donald Trump blowout by 63% and blah, blah, blah. It's a betting site. This is not a polling company, people.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, Americans cannot bet on this site.
That's my understanding of it as well.
So outside money, outsiders, people outside of the U.S. are betting on the outcome of the U.S. election. And we have some people here that are using this as what is going to be the determining factor. Don't count on a gambling website for accurate information about results. That just seems, I don't know, somehow unwise.
Yeah, I would not use that particular data. There's a lot of good data out there. I would not consider that to be good data. And I think the thing that I like about that poll and why I write about it over and over and over again is they are so transparent with their data. There's like rankings of the different pollster sites, and Marquette ranks as the number one best in the country for transparency. So they put so much data that, you know, they get beyond just the head to head. They get into the issues, they get into the crosstabs, look at the details all up and down the ballot. But it's really transparent, and that's why I've written about it that I have at the Recombobulation Area, and why I think it is an especially valuable poll for Wisconsin.
But again, the Franklin poll, that poll has been around for a very long time. As you said, Dan, it's very well established and it's credible. Anybody, because I asked you about this a couple weeks ago, anybody, if they want to, can start a polling company. You can have Stan and Dan's America Integrity Polling, and they only talk to five people, and then they publish the results that get picked up by some podcaster who has no experience but just decides to platform that. So you want to take some of these, all of these polls that are going to be coming out in the next couple of days, take them with a real big grain of salt. And don't forget that polls don't vote, and street sign or yard signs don't vote. People vote.
People vote. And that really, that was Charles Franklin's closing message, as it always is in the final and the final Marquette University Law School poll. Polls don't vote. People do. You have the power to decide the outcome.
Absolutely. You still got a couple of days. If you're going to vote on Election Day, it is next Tuesday. You can still vote early. If you have questions about who is representing you, where you need to go to cast your ballot, go to civicmedia.us/vote. That's also where you can find Dan's great voter guide that breaks down all of the races all across Wisconsin. It's extremely detailed. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to myvote.wy.gov. And just a reminder to please be nice to the poll workers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're They're doing us an enormous service. And from different things I've been seeing from different parts of the country, there are some wackadoodle things going on. Most places don't allow you to wear a Harris Walls hat or a Trump Vance hat or any stuff like that. If they ask you to take it off, just take it off and be nice about it.
Just wear your Packer jersey. Don't bother with the political stuff there, whatever.
No Aaron Rodgers jerseys, though.
Yeah.
Not in my polling place.
Or Brett Favre.
Or I guess Brett Favre, yeah. So in the last couple minutes that we have here, I want to plug something that will be published soon at the Recombobulation Area that is a very big project that I've been working on for a number of weeks now. I'm writing a feature story about politics. Politics in the Fox Valley. I'm a UW Oshkosh graduate. I have a lot of family in and around the Fox Valley, and I think it's a really important swing region of the state. So I spent some time there, talked to a lot of the candidates, and I think part of it is part of the politics of the region is not just that it is swingy for the top of the ticket. You know, we know that both candidates have been to Green Bay. Both, I think Kamala Harris is in Appleton this afternoon for something. But I think, you know, looking at the big picture, there are kind of these colliding trends. And I think it is a microcosm of what is happening in Wisconsin. And with new maps, there are so many more competitive seats in the area. There's a toss-up state Senate seat in Green Bay, a close seat in the Fox Valley, three toss-up seats in the Fox Valley and Green Bay in the Assembly. You've got the open congressional seat that Dr. Kristen Lierley is running in. You know, there's really a clean slate for a lot of the races there, really a fresh opportunity to find new representation for the area. So subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. That story will be in your inbox in probably within the next 24 hours here. Spend some time with that one.
Another way to look at it, too, is let's give some of our long-term politicians an opportunity to do something new.
To do something new.
It's for them. Yes. We're looking out for them. Yeah. Dan Schaefer is the editor and our political editor for Civic Media. He's also the author of the Recombobulation Area. We're going to see you on Tuesday in Madison, Dan.
I'll be there.
Four days to go. News is coming up next. When we return, Kyle Kilborn will be here to talk about his race against Tom Tiffany. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Kristen Lierley join us as we wrap up the campaigning and get all set for the voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own, Dobie Maxwell, joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the?
You got Amish. No, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.